He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, the April 8th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we had a little pop at the open here. The NASDAQ's still up, but I've seen quite a bit of a fade from that open. The Dow, on the other hand, right now, the Dow is down 70, okay? 30,376 on the Dow 30. The S&P, which was up about 12 or 13, is now up just 6 points. So this rally is being sold this morning so far, with a long ways to go between now and the close. 4,086 is where the S&P is right now. That is a new all-time high, however. The NASDAQ is up 95 now. It was up about 125. There was some good action in the FANG stocks yesterday. Not really anything else, just those FANG stocks. Either love them or hate them. The NASDAQ up 93 right now to 13,781 as it closes in on that 14,000 level again. The Russell 2000 small cap index, barely a move today. It's up 1 point to 22.24. The small caps have really cooled off. The crude oil markets down 47 cents today, 59.30, back under $60 per barrel. Gold is up $16 per ounce to 17.57. Silver having a little pop today, up 40 cents, but been in that 25 area for quite some time, 25.65. For silver, the 10-year down a couple basis points today. There's probably what's helping that NASDAQ. 1.63. That's the lowest level we've seen in a bit. And speaking of bits, Bitcoin up 793 to 57,518. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson on this April the 8th. Well, you know, the fans are gathering today in Augusta, which is about 2 hours from Charleston. And actually, you know, the influence spreads. I was just looking at some of our travel restaurants, hotels, everything pretty much booked in the Charleston area this weekend. It is spring break in this neck of the woods, and the spillover from the Masters tournament goes far and wide. That begins today. I'll be watching that. That's one of my favorite sporting events every year. I'm not sure what time the first tee off is. I imagine sometime this morning, but we'll be watching the Masters. I will, while I'm trading today. Slow start to the market today, other than the NASDAQ, which did have a big pop at the open, and then a little bit of a fade here. It's still up 93 points, however. Yesterday was a day that was really all centered around those big tech stocks, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Facebook. Facebook's breaking out right now to new all-time highs. I think Microsoft is too. Amazon's had about two or three good days in a row. Google's breaking out to new all-time highs. Now, we haven't seen this for a while. Those FANG stocks were asleep for a long, long time. They took a long winter's nap. But they're starting to spring up here in the springtime. Square also had a good day yesterday. SQ. But, you know, that was about it. I looked through a lot of charts yesterday. Had to, you know, hit myself a few times to stay awake. It wasn't real exciting yesterday, but today looks maybe a little more interesting. We'll see what we can find. We had initial jobless claims come in this morning. Let's see, what were those numbers? A little higher than expected. 744,000. That's kind of surprising that that's not going down with the reopen of America. Restaurants full, hotels seemingly full, yet initial jobless claims, 744,000, 744,000 this morning. We're going to have a speech today from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. That always is exciting. A lot of investors in the market will be watching every word that comes out of his mouth today about monetary policy. There is a little bit of news on the fiscal policy front. We saw a couple of days ago one of the key senators, Joe Manchin, in a 50-50 Senate, okay, the Democrats have to have every senator on board and then have Kamala Harris come in and break the tie. Well, you've got a couple of Democrat senators, Joe Manchin and one other one, that are not real thrilled with Joe Biden's corporate, well, his entire fiscal policy package of pretty much rising taxes across the board. So Biden at least is budging a little bit here. President Biden said he's willing to negotiate on the proposed corporate tax rate increase that's intended to help to pay for his $2.2 trillion infrastructure package. Well, normally in the negotiation process, you start high, you know, and then something you don't think you'll get, but you might get it, and then you negotiate somewhere in the middle. But that hasn't been the case here recently. It's pretty much all or nothing. But President Biden says he is willing to listen. He would consider a lower corporate tax rate than the 28% the plan is proposing. Of course, the current rate is at 21%. Now, why is that an important news story to follow? Because it will have an impact on S&P 500 earnings. And those S&P 500 earnings times a multiple equals what the S&P 500 is worth. And if you take a bite out of those earnings via higher taxes, you're going to get a lower target price for the S&P 500. So we will continue to follow this story. I mean, it looked like a sure thing last week that it was going to 28%. And, of course, you had Janet Yellen over the weekend talking about a global, everybody agreeing to a global tax rate to close this race to the bottom. You see, you know, look, with the U.S., at one rate, and you had Ireland for a long time at a very low rate. You had companies moving overseas. They're going to go where the lower taxes are. And it's the same here with population movement in the U.S. The big inflow into Tennessee and into Florida are those zero state tax rates. And, of course, the flow is coming from New York and New Jersey and areas that have very high tax rates. Of course, Texas also on the receiving end. So, you know, tax rates affect population movement. How about that? Migration. They'll call it the great tax migration of the 21st century. But we do get news that President Biden is willing. Well, it sounds like he's kind of backed into a corner because he's got a couple of senators that are balking at the current proposal on taxes. Well, it's about time. The SEC is officially warning on the growth of SPACs. Seems to me like the SEC has allowed the SPACs to grow. I don't know. A U.S. Securities and Exchange official warned that there are some significant and yet undiscovered issues with SPACs. Well, why didn't we check that all out before all these SPACs went public? Now they're out there. How many ticking time bombs are sitting out there? SEC official John Coates, sounds like he's getting out in front of this just in case this really backfires, says the issues are not something that's going to stop them by any means. Well, in other words, you can keep bringing them public, but they are relatively as yet incompletely worked through mechanisms, despite the fact they've been around for a while, according to a Department of Justice report, which cited comments Coates made at a legal conference earlier today. Now, the SEC last month warned about celebrities endorsing SPACs and said it's never a good idea to invest in a SPAC just because someone famous sponsored it or is an investor in it. Well, how about an air fryer? Emerald tells me to buy this air fryer. Should I buy it? That's a celebrity endorsement. But a SPAC, yeah, I mean, that's a vehicle, an investment vehicle. Well, we'll have more on this when we come back on this speculation that continues to take place in the market. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Dow down 70 right now. The 10-year yield down 2-3 basis points now to 1.64. I have seen stabilization. I mentioned that in my newsletter last week. I showed a chart of the aggregate bond market ETF along with interest rates. And did show that on the one hand, interest rates, which have been going up in a very strong number two trend, were then leveling off into a number three sideways trend. And at the same time, the bond market, I use AGG as my proxy for that, it's been in a horrible number four downtrend, finally finding some support over the last couple of weeks. And starting to base out and actually just a little bit of a bounce, a little bit of a rally here this week in the bond market. NASDAQ's up to 79 right now. It was up 125 right out of the gate, so it's lost a little steam. Okay, so the SEC is warning about celebrities endorsing SPACs. What about non-fungible tokens? What is that, a new salad, you know, some kind of mushroom or something? Tom Brady is starting a non-fungible platform called Autograph. Famed NFL quarterback Tom Brady starting a non-fungible token. I think there's one in my kale right next to the heirloom tomato there. Platform called Autograph this spring. Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback Brady and entrepreneur Richard Rosenblatt will serve as co-chairs of Autograph. The new company will produce non-fungible tokens featuring Brady. Well, okay, where can I get some of that? Brady set a record earlier this week when his rookie card sold for $2.3 million. In an auction. Well, that sounds like better than a non-fungible token. You know, at least this is something I can hold in my hand and it's fungible. Kathy Wood's new launched ARKX witnesses a staggering $536 million in inflows. This is her newly launched ARK Space Exploration and Innovation ETF. ARKX. Well, Kathy says something, Kathy opens something, money flows in, more than $500 million goes into this ETF. ARKX is on pace to be one of the most prolific fund launches, despite some of the criticisms received that the exchange-traded fund doesn't entirely replicate the space exploration sector. You know, I was worried about that. I don't want to buy something that doesn't replicate the space exploration sector. There must be some non-fungible tokens in there. Since its inception 1 week ago, market participants have floated $536 million into the ETF, which blows away the industry average. What's the industry average? It usually takes 3 years to get an ETF to $100 million. Hers comes right out of the gate at $536 million. Well, you know what? If you want to invest in space ETFs, you've got UFO. That's an unidentified flying ETF out there. You've got Rocket, R-O-K-T. And now you got a third choice, ARKX. You might want to buy those for your great-great-great-grandchildren. Maybe a while before any of these companies are profitable. At the same time, Kathy Wood's ARK Innovation adds more DraftKings and Palantir. Well, let's just check the price-to-sales ratios on these. We had a whole show yesterday that was centered around price-to-sales ratios. I think they're important. And I'm saying, somewhere in the 1 to 3 area in this very highly expensive market. DraftKings comes in at 40 times price-to-sales. Not profitable yet. In a lot of competition in that space right now. And let's check in on Palantir. Where is Palantir's price-to-sales ratio? 38! And I'm saying 1 to 3 in this market environment that we are now in. But everybody has their own style of investing. You know, yesterday we talked about Citigroup and Tobias Lefkowitz at least bringing to everyone's attention that wanted to listen how the price-to-sales ratio of the market right now is much higher than it was in 1999 and 2000. And it brought back memories to me. Anybody who was managing money in 1999 and 2000, any retiree who had money in the market in 1999 and 2000, how can you forget an 89% wipeout in the NASDAQ? But I remembered some of the names of the stars of that era, and where are they today? I found a good article on that on MarketWatch that was written a while ago. They were saying, here we are 10 years after the big bubble when the NASDAQ went to 5,300. And Garrett Von Wagner's Emerging Growth Fund, okay, I remember him very distinctly. It gained 291% in 1999. Money poured into the fund. Assets ballooned to almost $1.5 billion from $189 million a year earlier. Well, he was one of those stars. What eventually happened to the fund? Well, he hasn't been involved since 2008, but I know they did a listing of mutual fund returns. He was at the bottom. His fund ended up being the worst fund. It lost 21% in 2000. It dropped 60% in 2001. And it fell 65% in 2002 when his assets went from $1.5 billion to $100 million. Does that say anything about having a sell strategy? Now, if you would have put $10,000 into his fund, let me get that number there. Let's see. Assets ballooned almost. Okay, yeah, if you had invested $10,000 in his fund at the beginning of 1997, you would have gone up to $45,000 by March of 2000. And, of course, he was a rock star, okay? He was on every financial station. That $10,000 went to $45,000, went clear back to $1,900. Well, there's something to be said for a sell strategy. That was a train wreck. Are there some train wrecks out there now ready to happen? We'll be right back. We'll be right back. back here to the second half. Well, the market's improved a little bit here. NASDAQ now up 96 after initial sell the rally move, and the Dow is now down just 50. It was down 70 just a few moments ago. Well, before I leave this, this story on these former rock star fund managers from 2000-2001, I just... The one little thing that stood out to me here that I remember, a company, now this is back in 1999, 2000, 98, around in there, the rallying cry of the internet crowd, it's different this time. Now this refers to valuations. Was it once bullish and bullying? Anyone who said otherwise about stock valuation, that sales and earnings still matter, just didn't get it. In other words, you were stupid if you believe that valuations mattered. A company would put out a press release with the words internet or non-fungible tokens or electric batteries or flying robo-taxis or autonomous this or autonomous that or Bitcoin this and Bitcoin that. And the stock would spike, recalled Russell Cannell, director of mutual fund research at Investment Research, or Morningstar, Inc., because everybody was getting rich. They were willing to put aside disbelief. Technology fund managers of the time were media celebrities. I remember that. They were celebrities. They were rock stars. Highly sought seers of the stock market with their fingers on the internet's pulse. And promise. Well, anyways, it's good to remember history because history repeats itself just in different fashions. Okay, I think I'll put a link to that story in my newsletter, which I'm working on today. Hopefully we'll get it out tomorrow. Coinbase price target lifted to $440 per share from $195 per share by D.A. Davidson. Now, Coinbase hasn't even gone public yet. It's going to start trading. This is going to be one of the most highly anticipated IPOs in a while. It's expected to start trading. Put this on your calendar. April the 14th. Okay, you've probably heard of Coinbase. They develop platforms to invest in and use crypto assets for retail users, institutions, and ecosystem partners. So you're going to want to watch for that IPO April 14th. That is next Wednesday. Already getting price targets, and it hasn't even gone public yet. Okay, what are the Wall Street bets crowd? Where are they at? What are they up to right now? Well, they've latched onto a stock, ASO, Academy Sports and Outdoor, a company that operates 259 stores across 16 contiguous states, primarily in the southern United States. Let's take a look at ASO. O's price to sales and pay ratio. Price to sales, well, I show 50 cents on the dollar. And I show it's a 3% growth company. That's not good. And I show a forward PE of 9.7. But there's no growth. That's a problem. And yet the stock went public at 13 late last year. It hit 28 yesterday. And it's the number one trending stock on the on our Wall Street Bets board, one of the top trending stocks. And that's also, you know, they were the folks that brought you the big run-up in GameStop, which has kind of stopped for now, but it's still at a very, very, very lofty price. Okay, well, before all of this dries up, here comes a bunch of SPACs to market. Self-driving truck startup, Too Simple, is going public here in the next day or two. TSP, self-driving truck startup too simple. Okay, this seems to be the area of speculation right now. You know, back in 2000, it was the internet. I would say this year it's Bitcoin and it's electric vehicle and its batteries and autonomous technology and self-driving this and self-driving that and robotic this and robotic that. Li Auto raises $750 million. Now, that was a very promising Chinese, it still is, EV company that we did own. We wrote up an article on it. And then the big sell-off came into the EV space, and that's one we had to let go, maybe looking to get back into it at some point in time. It is profitable, and it is a formidable company, $20 billion market cap. Li Auto raises a little debt. You buy some Li Auto bonds if you want. Another one that came public that drew a lot of attention, CBAC Energy, which apparently has a better mousetrap as it relates to electric batteries. They jump at the open after Tasmanian website, says the company plans to produce crucial new 4680 battery cell, joining the ranks of Panasonic, LG Energy, and others. That sounds like maybe a solid-state battery, which is still very controversial. I see the stock as dead in the water right now. That's a SPAC, a recent SPAC out of China, which manufactures high-powered lithium batteries. Workhorse. Okay, this is another favorite of Kathy Wood at the ARK funds. Workhorse is the company that lost out to Oshkosh up in Wisconsin. Man, I'm telling you, these stocks, I look at these charts, are just dead in the water. This thing is $13 a share. Just 2 or 3 months ago, it was $43 per share. If there was an area of speculation, it was without question in that electric vehicle space, which gets more and more crowded all the time. But people still like Workhorse, you know, and so does, I know Kathy Wood's been by it. Canoe rides higher. There's another one that everybody was excited about. It ran up to $25 per share, a recent SPAC, which designs and manufactures and distributes breakthrough electric vehicles to consumers and businesses, from $25 all the way down to $10 per share. Well, Canoe had a good day yesterday, but you look at that chart, and it ain't pretty. XL, that one we talked about that yesterday. That's another one that's been under heavy pressure recently, XL. And then, of course, you got Boyd over in China. That was another one that we owned and had to say goodbye to. Boyd has one of the better-looking charts, and it's also one of the more profitable ones. Boyd is a $63 billion market cap company. If I was to get back into one of the EVs, that might be at the top of my list, BYDDF. But right now it's a very weak sector, and it's a sideways number one chart on Boyd. Okay, one last one. Riot Blockchain signs contracts to buy 42,000 more S19J Antminers. Well, where can I get an S19J Antminer? I'll bet they're expensive. But they're going to add, Riot is, to its Bitcoin mining fleet with contracts to buy 42,000 of these miners for $138 million from Bitmain Technologies. Well, I mean, if you're interested in the Bitcoin trades, I've said that the standout stock is Marathon, M-A-R-A, and I would say that the number two kind of legitimate stock in this sector is Riot Blockchain, R-I-O-T. I have no positions. Now, when we come back, we're going to look. We talked yesterday about the criteria. This is a very narrow market right now, waiting for some kind of direction, some kind of leadership to emerge. The only leadership I've seen over the last week or so has really been the FANG stocks once again. Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Google. I mean, that's where the action has been centered. And then in some, you know, some ancillary chip stocks out there. But the main criteria you got to search for and find it all in one place, it ain't easy. But I've got another example for you today when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's Best Stocks Now Show.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
Back here to the final segment of Best Stocks Now Show. Dow down 33 at 33,414. We've got the NASDAQ. Here comes the S&P up 9, so 0.2%. Not real exciting. The NASDAQ, however, is now up 96.7. As I went through the list of movers today, I did see that the former momentum stocks are having a little bit of a day in the sun today. Don't get sunburnt. I see a lot of them up 2-3%. We're talking the Shopify's, the Roku's, the Zoom technologies, etc. I have seen some signs of life in those stocks, but am I ready to step up to the plate and go back into those stocks at this point in the game? You know what? They were good to me last year. I may nibble at one or two of them here and there, but for the most part, I'd be pretty careful right there. All right, so it's a pretty tall order right now to find a stock that, number one, has 100% or more upside potential over the next 5 years. Number two is trading at some reasonable valuation ratios. And number three has a pretty good head of steam behind it in a market that, you know, is kind of so-so overall. Actually, it's kind of dead right now, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's spring break. That's what I'm chalking it up to. Some very light volume in the market these days. I think folks are waiting to get a little more clarity on future fiscal policy. And, of course, you've got a very highly valued market right now, which is causing some caution across the board. But we'll go with one I've featured before. I still like it. NXP Semiconductor, NXPI. It does meet my valuation criteria. It's got a PEG ratio of 1.27. Now, if you go back to the year 2000 and 1999, I remember PEG ratios. I mean, anything over 5 is just, it's really getting ridiculous. Right now, I'd be very reluctant to do anything over 2. And even then, I'd keep it more at maybe cap it at 1.5, somewhere around there. That's the PEG ratio. It's found in my app. It's one of the main ratios in the valuation section of the app. NXPI currently has a PEG ratio of 1.27. So it does fit within those parameters, and it has 100% upside potential. Now, the price-to-sales ratio, it's not in that 1-3 range, but this is a tech stock, and it is a 16% grower, and it is a company that is helping to address the big chip shortage, especially in the auto sector. Well, the price to sales is 6.8. That's one of the highest. I saw somebody did a little study on my current portfolios or stocks that he owns that from my newsletter, and my average price to sales ratio is somewhere in the 2 area. But that doesn't mean I'm not willing to make a few exceptions, especially when you've got kind of a special circumstance out there with the shortage in chips. As far as momentum goes, NXPI is getting a little downgrade today, so it's down 2.1%, but it hit a new all-time high just 3 days ago. This is a large cap, $57 billion chip company headquartered in the Netherlands, so we don't have to worry about corporate tax issues, I don't think, with this stock. The yield is 1.1%. You also get a little dividend on it. It's down 2% today. Where's it ranked overall? Overall, it's ranked number 33 out of 5,769. And it is a stock that we do own in both of our premier growth, because it is a large cap growth stock that meets the criteria for that premier growth portfolio. And it's in our dividend and growth portfolio because it also meets the criteria for that one. So there's an example for you of a stock that meets our very strict criteria. They're few and far between right now. You got to go outside of what was working last year, that's for sure. Well, I'll be working on the newsletter today. Hopefully we'll be sending it out tomorrow morning sometime. If you've never seen the newsletter, get all the portfolios and what's in them and how they've done, you can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. I'm going to put a link to that article. Let's just remember the year 2000 at a time like this, where we have a forward PE on the S&P 500 that's almost 30 right now, and we have a price-to-sales ratio that is now higher on a relative basis than 1999 and year 2000. Let me just give you a little bit of a reminder how that ended up in 1999 and 2000. I'll put a link to that article just for fun. And if you'd like to set up an appointment, this is not a time to be passive. Man, I'm telling you what, I watch news from all over the world during my daily walk and watch here from my office. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on right now. There's some ticking time bombs out there. It's not a time to be passive. I really believe in active management. That doesn't mean day trading. We rode a major trend from March of last year until about mid-February of this year. And then it was time to cash in mostly on that trend and start going in a different direction as new trends are now arising. And there will be another bear market out there. We all know that at some point in time. So we always have to have our eyes in the rearview mirror. If you'd like to talk to one of my advisors, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And on Monday of next week, we'll be excited to announce some offices we're opening. Well, not opening, that are already in existence. We'll have a little bit of news for you next Monday, all right? This is Bill Gunderson, Best Stocks Now Show. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.